time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. You couldn't even text properly this morning.
I was not texting and driving, Vanessa. That's illegal.
I could not make out his text messages.
I just couldn't see my phone.
And
you know?
He was trying to say ha ha ha, and it was like ja 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 ja.
Well,
like,
that was from Duolingo.
Because
Duolingo switches your keyboard to the Spanish keyboard without you knowing it, without your consent.
You were a little bit of a hot mess, but it's okay. That's why we love you. Happy Tuesday, guys. Thanks for listening.
Sup.
We are Vanessa and Gallant. I'm at Sports Vanessa on Twitter. He is at Gallant Says. And you can stream us on Twitch if you'd like to see our the bags under our eyes. You can listen
Whoa.
To us.
Wait, I have bags under my eyes?
No, I do too. That's why we're concealer.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to get concealer. Got any people?
92.5, 97.5, and of course the ESPN app. Okay, so Kenny Rogers is actually from Houston. And he has a great song called The Gambler. I know you don't.
I actually do know this song.
That one? This is a really
good
moment.
Know when to hold him.
Know when to fold him.
Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
Yes.
You can't count your money when you're sitting
at the table.
This is because somebody else, my previous radio co-host, taught me this on the air.
Yeah. So Kenny Rogers from Houston, apparently Calvin Ridley did not heed that advice.
No.
Because he decided to, essentially, the way the NFL is looking at it is, take money from the company from which he works.
He's Satan. Can you believe the audacity of a player gambling on a sport that he would know about? I actually do not quite understand, Vanessa, the suspension of 1 year, because it, to me, at face value, does not seem like what he did was particularly egregious. Now, it's per his own league, illegal. He is not allowed as a football player in the National Football League to gamble on the National Football League. He could gamble on anything else. He's not allowed to gamble on this. But suspended for a whole year?
Yeah, suspended a full season by the NFL for gambling on games in 2021. He allegedly did it over a five-day stretch in November. And this is while he was on that injury list to, quote-unquote, address mental health issues. He had left the team.
Oh, no.
We'll get it. Yeah, oh, I know. No. You've got takes. He had left the team on Halloween saying he needed to get his personal life in order. So the
but
NFL
his gambling life
determined that he had placed multi-leg parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 games, and that was per ESPN's Adam Schefter. And then what happened, this is per Mike Garafolo of NFL Network. The NFL's data partner, Genius Sports Group, saw suspicious activity on a phone they traced back to Ridley. And the investigation actually began in November. And we have one of those reports from Mike Garafolo now.
Hey, Mikey.
Third in November. It was when Ridley was away from the team. Remember, he was on a leave because of what he termed mental health issues in the league. The team saying that as well. I have done some quick work on this one because this one just popped up this afternoon, even though the Falcons said they were aware of it for quite some time. And my understanding is that Ridley used his phone to bet on games, again, when he was away from the Falcons, to place parlay bets, which is bets on multiple teams. And the NFL was made aware of it, conducted an investigation, and through their gambling partners were able to corroborate the information. And remember, when the NFL did announce their gambling partnerships within the last couple of years, they did make the statement saying we will be able to work with our partners to make sure the integrity of the game is upheld. In other words, if we find out that teams or players or coaches or executives, whatever, are involved in gambling, we will be able to work with our betting partners to corroborate any information. That is what happened in this case. That is how the end.
So that Mike Garafolo from NFL Network, and I wanted to play that bite because at the end, that's where it gets interesting to me. The league had told these guys,
yes,
we will be able to track through data. And I saw somebody on Twitter say, like, why didn't he just do it through his cousin's phone like everybody else?
Because if he had, people are probably not going to see another name not named Calvin Ridley and think, oh, this must be an NFL player. So the Hard Rock Sportsbook snitched through Genius Sports Group about what happened. Not going to lie, not so high on the Hard Rock Sportsbook doing that, but I get it. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Yeah, snitches get
stitches.
Stitches, exactly. Not that we would be giving the stitches out or anything like that. But, okay, let's go back to what he did. He got suspended for a year. He broke the rules. He's clearly careless. Might be a little dumb. But you mentioned the kind of bet that he made. A multi-legged parlay bet, which means he is betting on 5, 6, 7 things to happen. He's essentially playing the lottery. He also tweeted out that he only, in total, bet about $1,500. Now, for an NFL player, that's chump change. For us, that's a lot. NFL player, not a whole lot. And this crazy person was betting on, as part of these parlay bets, the Falcons, who are terrible. So,
look, he was betting on them to win.
Yes, yeah. Right. Not to lose, which would have been smart. He was betting on his terrible football team that did not have him on it to win. He was bored. Did he do the right thing? I think it's subjective as far as morally, if this is okay, if this isn't. Per the league, it's not. But this, to me, is sort of the same way I look at some of the other scandals that we've seen across the NFL. There are degrees of cheating. There are degrees of gambling. To me, this is rather innocuous, and even if Calvin Ridley isn't exactly the sharpest tool in the shed doing this under his name, I guess I don't feel like a league that just partnered up with 7 different gambling websites, apps, etc., should be taking this hard of a line.
The reaction from this varied from people saying, you know, you had a couple of hot take people saying he should be banned for life. Not very many, but they were there.
They're probably old.
They are. They were very Pete Rose-ish generation.
In age, yeah.
And then you had people from the opposite saying, well, the NFL doesn't even punish women abusers this much.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the bottom line. The NFL has really had to make strides with how they punish anybody and everybody because they've been so inconsistent. I will say this. I do wish the league did more when there are domestic abusers and all of that. I think they're getting there, and I do think it's gotten better. With this, this is a statement, okay?
Yeah.
This is the first time since the league, you know, the NFL started partnering with DraftKings and FanDuel and all of that. This is the first time a player has gotten busted actually doing it. I'm not saying Calvin Ridley's the first one. I'm saying he's the first one that's been caught since all of these massive million-billion-dollar deals started happening. This is a statement from the NFL that's saying, if you get caught, we will use our partners to track that data, and you will be punished, and it will be harsh.
But now if I'm a player and I'm thinking about doing gambling, it's a red flag, sure. A lot of people are going to be scared off entirely by it. An entire season's worth of salary is a whole lot of money. But now you know what you have to do to get around this. I feel like some of the data that has come out that has filled in us, the average person, what actually happened here, doesn't help the NFL out here. You're right. It's a statement. They're paranoid that this could happen again. It probably is happening already. Hopefully not in situations where a player is actually throwing a game, a referee.
And it's impacting and shaving points. And,
right.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, that would not be good. I don't think that was happening here. Though some sleuths online, Vanessa.
Oh, no.
Like Emmanuel Acho, amongst others. They went to this very poorly edited video that showed a couple of plays of Calvin Ridley where he was like going back yardage-wise, like a couple of yards, and acting like this was damning. That's what Acho said before he deleted it. He called it damning evidence. I'm not saying this is cheating. I'm not saying this is throwing games, but it's damning. Well, then don't say it's damning because that's actually, you know, after the but, nothing matters before. It only matters what you say after. I think it's extreme to say that he was doing anything really nefarious here. You're right, though. You know, talking about precedent and talking about past suspensions, they have been consistent in one suspension only, and it has been this.
Yeah.
There were two guys who I think got suspended for a full season in the 1940s.
Yeah, and then in the 60s, Alex Karras.
Alex Karras and Paul Hornung.
Yeah.
And they do not want this to happen, but I do think that it's somewhat outdated the way that they are looking at it, and I think it's ridiculous that... I think it's ridiculous some of the investigation power that has been put into taking a look at certain things that have happened across the NFL's history where this is the most serious offense. And if they are going to suspend somebody for a full season for something like this where they are gambling on a parlay, which is essentially right. buying a lottery ticket, what are they going to do with Stephen Ross? Who is
it's
alleged-
a great point.
I mean, if-
it's a great point.
It, look, 1 year suspension for Ridley, fine. Kick Stephen Ross out. That's all I'm asking for. Because Stephen Ross was throwing games. There's no denying it. The Dolphins were tanking. Lots of teams across sports have been tanking. Let's finally punish somebody. If there's anything good that can come out of this, Vanessa, that is what I'm hoping for. I do kind of feel bad for Calvin Ridley, though. A $1,500 parlay, it's stupid. I'm not like saying this was smart. But it's bizarre that this is going to get a season-long suspension. It was a harmless bet, in my opinion.
And Big Cat from Barstool put Acho in a body bag on Twitter,
yes,
so don't worry about that. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to tell you a little bit about Calvin Ridley's response, how people, what people are saying about the league, and then we're going to get into the latest on the MLB lockout. Oh, that's boy. On Vanessa and Gallant coming up next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Tuesday talking about Calvin Ridley and all of that storyline, everything that's happened within the last 24 hours. He did respond, though, Paul. He tweeted through the pain. I bet $1,500 total I don't have a gambling problem. And by that, I think he meant, I bet $1,500 total, comma, I don't have a gambling problem.
Right. Again, it's not that much for these players.
I couldn't even watch football at that point. Just gone be more healthy when I come back. I know I was wrong, but I'm getting 1 year, LOL. If you know me, you know my character. That is what Ridley tweeted. The reason I don't think this was a good idea to tweet, among other things, is that he has to apply to be reinstated in February 2023.
Right. It doesn't show a lot of remorse. And even if you aren't remorseful for something that you've been punished for, the best way to get out of the proverbial doghouse is to act contrite. I'm not saying this is some sort of sociopath who's gotten away with this, Vanessa. No, I'm just saying if you want, after a punishment, to be let back into the good graces of whatever person you might have wronged, company you might have wronged, you have to act like you care. He doesn't seem to care here.
No.
I don't blame him because I think this is stupid. It's a parlay. The odds of him actually winning are low. This did not affect the integrity of the game.
If you don't know what a parlay is, it's basically like you bet on 5 to 8 different things, and they all have to happen for you to win a large amount of money.
It's like a penny bet.
Right.
You know, you're putting it down. It's stupid. You know you're not going to win it, but you're not putting a lot of money down. And if you actually can get all of those results to happen, oh my God, it's amazing. But no one wins parlays. You try your hardest, but when you're doing five outcomes, you're insane. I mean, it's like going to a roulette table and betting on one number. Or something like that. So, yeah, I don't think this is super serious. I get why the NFL, though, is paranoid about it, why they're freaking out about it. And Ridley needs a little bit of advice here as far as what he should be doing after the fact if he wants to get back on the field.
There were a lot of people tweeting, why didn't he just use his cousin's phone? Why, you know, because that's what a lot of these guys do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are guys in the NFL... And that is kind of the vibe that I got from the sports media and the guys and gals that cover the NFL on a very intricate daily basis, is that There are a lot of guys doing this, but they find ways, right? They do it on their cousin's phone, their wife's phone. They, you know, everything is digital now. It's right. not like when Paul Hornung and Alex Karras were caught doing this and they had to, like, in the middle of the night, go see somebody super sketchy. Now,
hey, see, kid, I got your books right here, kid.
It's all being tracked.
I'm going to break your legs. You don't bring me the money.
But we will see. He can apply to be reinstated in 2023. But it definitely is one of those things where it seems like the NFL is making an example out of Calvin Ridley. All right. Latest in the MLB lockout, deal or no deal? No deal so far. But what we keep seeing is new deadlines to play a full season. So if you remember, about a week ago, it was like, okay, there's not a deal done, right. So you've lost the first two series. Now, they're saying today is the deadline for 162 games, full pay, and full surface time.
Which is funny because last week we were told that that's not going to happen anymore because the league told the players that, yep, you don't get it done by Tuesday, then we're canceling the first 2 weeks of games. Now, I guess that's not technically true anymore. Although, if a deal isn't reached today, Vanessa, the league also might cancel another week's worth of games. Right. So it's getting very, very confusing. The league is trying its hardest to dig its feet in here. Public opinion is definitely not in their favor this time around. I actually read this article in the Washington Post today about the coverage of this and how the coverage has actually been very one-sided in favor of the players this time around, which is very different from 1994, 1995, the last time a lockout happened. So they're doing anything that they possibly can to try and make the players feel pressure, but I don't think that that's actually going to happen.
The sides $18 million apart this year on the luxury tax thresholds, a difference rising to $33 million by 2026, according to the Associated Press, amongst some other things. But that's the one that seems to be the hang-up.
The owners are whining about competitive balance on that front, and it's the owners on the low end of things. But, I mean, they got to stop with this because if you are someone that owns a baseball team, I mean, it's, if I'm not mistaken, tax-free, essentially, because it's a sports league. I know the NFL has the same deal. It is a guaranteed moneymaker as an investment. You can't come crying, oh, you're going to affect the competitive balance here. You're affecting the competitive balance for, I would say, the average player getting paid in the way that he wants to by manipulating service time and all of these things. So, and I would think for a lot of players, once you get up into your 30s, teams are not even looking at you as an enticing free agent player anymore because they realize that they can probably find someone with more upside for significantly cheaper than you. So, I'm not generally pro-labor, but in this situation, I can see why everybody is. There are some other things that are coming out of this, though, Vanessa, where it seems like the league is going to make some major changes to the sport. And that's actually seemingly going to happen.
That's a good thing, though. I think
most of them, the things that have been proposed, I think are good. Yes. Pitch clock. I've been asking for this for half a decade. Larger bases. That's weird to me.
I don't think anybody. It's funny you say that because I don't think anybody knew that was even on the table.
No.
Like all of the reporters were like, okay, bigger bases, question mark.
I guess it makes it easier for someone to steal a base. I guess it makes it easier for someone to avoid injury.
It's very specific.
Sliding into a base, right. It's pro offense. They're going to try to do as many things that are pro offense. But the one that is most intriguing is that they're looking like they are going to ban the shift as early as the 2023 season. So no more will you see an entire side of the infield against a right-handed batter lined up in left field or vice versa for a left-handed batter. Yes, you can put a bunt down, you can bunt through it, you can get on base that way. It's certainly possible, and maybe some of these players should work on their bunting skills. But when somebody's throwing you an 100-mile-per-hour inside fastball, you really have no choice to go the other way. You could try to bunt it, I guess. It's probably going to be a little bit difficult. For the most part, it has gotten to a point where I've never minded the shift. Getting rid of the shift is probably going to be better for more balls in play. For contact hitters to get back to what they've been doing in the past, you need to have more guys actually doing things that aren't strikeouts, walks, home runs, flyouts.
New York Yankees team president Randy Levine kind of talked about how dire the situation is. He was on the Michael Kay Show and said the following about the possibility that there would be no season. He said, "I'm very afraid of that. I hope not. But if we continue with where we are, it could happen. That's what scares me. It keeps me up at night." So we're starting to see the shift, pun intended, with some of the executives that are starting to realize that it could be more real and more real that they might not have a season.
Do the Yankees even want to play this year?
I
asked that question because, all right, now that the cat's out of the bag as far as all the excuses they were making as far as why they never won a World Series, why they never won an American League Championship Series or anything like that over these last couple of years, where it's been Houston or it's been Boston or it's been the Dodgers. Yeah, now that everyone knows that they're a bunch of choke artists, do they really want to play this year? Honestly, I don't know. I think you want to kick the can down the road a little bit farther if you're the New York Yankees and get yourself to a point where the Astros are no longer what they used to be. Because this way, you know, instead of, you know, putting the blame on the Astros for cheating, we could just move on and forget like it ever happened.
And how terrible Gerrit Cole was once the sticky substances started being enforced.
Oh, yeah. You ain't kidding. Aaron Judge, noted postseason hero. Not. Giancarlo Stanton. Woohoo! Yeah, I look, if I hear any of the Yankees talk about it too, they are not the problem in this. I think that of all the teams in baseball, if the Yankees could, if there wasn't a luxury tax, the Yankees would be doing what they were doing a lot of in the late 1990s, which was just saying, "Ah, screw it. We're just going to pay everybody all the money in the world." But in this situation, I do think it's funny. Like, "Oh, we're scared a season might not happen." I don't think you want a season to happen because you're going to end up being behind all those teams once again.
Meanwhile, the MLB announces to fund some help for spring training workers. This is via Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic about 12 minutes ago. MLB announced a $1 million fund to support Grapefruit Florida and Cactus, which is, of course, Arizona League workers who have been affected by canceled spring training games. Here's the thing. Why is it the MLB that has to do this? I mean, I hope that this is coming from the owners and not the players. We talked about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But this gets into why baseball and sports on a much more broad level. And look, I like talking about the specifics more than this, but this is a part of it. This is a very real financial part of it, is that you have stadium workers and broadcasters and parking attendants and concession. I mean, you have people that like make their living essentially with baseball. And think about all of the restaurants around Minute Maid Park. Some of them straight up closed during COVID. Not like temporarily. Like they're not coming back. So this is another impact of the greed and all of the disagreements among players and owners.
Yeah.
It's not the main thing that we talk about on a sports show, but it is worth
noting. The players and owners don't give a crap about those people. And
they
a lot of those
don't.
People, if they possibly could, given that they're in a ballpark that's or near a ballpark, I think a lot of those people optimally would love to actually watch some of these games. And that's the funny part. I whenever someone is asking me to be empathetic to an athlete, I will do it, but note that there will be a lot of context associated with it. It'll be, yeah, it stinks that you're feeling bad. You've got a lot of blessings though, homie. You know, this is not as bad as you think it is. So there, that article I read today, Vanessa, where things are being painted in such a pro-labor way, that is something that has been a little bit annoying of late.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we know allegedly where Aaron Rodgers is going because somebody just broke the news. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Aaron Rodgers will return to the Green Bay Packers. That is per Pat McAfee, who I seem to have seen tweeted out first, and then Ian Rapoport adding in the unbelievable, crazy whopping details. 4 years, $200 million, $153 million guaranteed. And that, of course, lowers the cap number. After contemplating retirement, after contemplating moving teams, Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay.
What a shocker. You know, this is turning into a bad action movie franchise where you watch a movie, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, or it's Sylvester Stallone, and he's facing insurmountable odds, and you're not sure if he's going to survive in the end. But he does. So you had one version of this. Taken 1 with Liam Neeson. Oh, is he going to die? He doesn't die. Taken 2 with Liam Neeson. The same exact plot as before. This is going to happen again in 2 years. The exact same thing. Because, Vanessa, that contract, it's big. But guess what? All these contracts, they're cut them in half, essentially. It's probably a 2-year, $100 million deal. 2 years from now, if Rodgers is still playing at this level, we're going to get the exact same offseason, and he probably won't leave again.
Does this mean that Davante Adams returns?
I think so, yes. Yeah. There must be a corresponding move in the next couple of hours. The franchise tag deadline's 3 o'clock this afternoon, correct?
Yeah.
So that means that Davante Adams, I think, at the very least, is going to get a franchise tag, if not some sort of extension that would be similar, where he's going to be definitely here with the Packers for the next 2 years, along with Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. That's per Pat McAfee, Ian Rappaport. At this point, everybody's tweeting it out now because all of the quote-unquote sources are letting them know. Highest paid player in NFL history, $200 million deal, 4 year, and $153 million of that is guaranteed. That's a crazy commitment, but that is Green Bay. We saw the writing on the wall, right? We saw when they brought in his old quarterbacks coach. We saw when they were talking about possibly tagging Davante Adams, despite the fact that they knew Adams probably didn't want to be tagged. We knew that this could be the outcome.
This is good for the Texans. This is good for Deshaun Watson. Watch, because the Broncos, I'm sure, wanted him as badly as possible. They hired Nathaniel Hackett. You know, they were trying their best to be the destination for Rodgers this offseason, because he was expected to potentially go elsewhere. And now what do you do if you're the Denver Broncos? You want to go with Teddy Bridgewater? You really want to make that happen? Sure you do. If you're saying that, and I guess they have been, you're posturing. So I think the Broncos are back in the fold for now, Deshaun Watson, and whether or not he'll be on another team next year. And it's good for the Texans. I had a feeling, though, that, you know, this was going to be the outcome all along. I don't know why we expected anything different.
I think, you know, the minute I knew that Rodgers was probably staying with the Packers was at the Super Bowl at NFL Honors. He went from, I mean, a year plus of saying he didn't like the communication, he wasn't happy in Green Bay, being cryptic sometimes, and then other times just being honest about the fact that he wasn't happy. And then all of a sudden in Los Angeles at NFL Honors, we see this completely different tone from Aaron Rodgers. He is thanking Matt LaFleur. He is thanking Brian Gutekunst. He is up there saying the communication has gotten better. And then he goes on Pat McAfee and talks about how much improvement he's seen from his relationship with that front office. He also said on Pat McAfee he wanted Davante Adams.
Yep.
Plain and simple. And as cryptic as I think Aaron Rodgers may be with the media and with some other people, I do think he has enough tact to where he and Davante, like, Davante Adams isn't just finding this out.
No.
Like, he and Davante have been talking for a few days now.
No doubt. By the way, Vanessa, congratulations. You finally got it right.
Gutekunst. I've actually like worked on it.
You've been practicing it? did someone get under your skin?
No, it's because I hate
someone on Twitch.
Like the uneducated Midwest white girls.
So well, I mean, honestly, you should know because you're from the Midwest and Gutekunst.
And my dad's a Packers fan.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. You have no excuse. I mean,
none,
yeah. Because there's so many, like, what, German-Americans that live in that area? I'm assuming that name is German.
More in, like, Ohio, which
Milwaukee.
Is where, yeah.
Right? Okay. You could have just called him Gooty. Old Gooty. Old Gooster. The Gootster. Yeah. How about it?
This is getting good.
What?
I love mess as much as you do.
Oh, yeah. I love slop. What's happening?
Pat McAfee tweets his back to his thread and says, news of a 4-year, $200 million deal is not accurate, according to my sources.
Let's go.
This is awesome. So you have Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport tweeting the specifics of the deal. And Pat McAfee is saying, no. And we know who his source is.
Yes,
the guy that comes on his show every Tuesday.
Rappaport is probably saying what the agent is telling him. Because generally, the information brokers of the NFL, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, they're getting, and now it's almost not even, they're almost copying and pasting exactly what they get from the agents. It's a lot of conversations with agents. I'm not hating on the game. I'm jealous because they're both making probably tons of money off of doing this. But yeah, the deal is likely a 2-year deal. And it's something that I would imagine is going to give Aaron Rodgers flexibility. I do wonder how much longer he'll keep playing, though. Because while he is still at the top of his powers,
to me, he doesn't seem to have the same addiction to football that Tom Brady does. I think that they're a little bit differently wired on that front. So I don't know that I see Rodgers playing necessarily past whatever two-year option that I imagine this contract actually is.
Somebody on Twitch, Houston Football 3, says Rodgers was a better GM for Houston than O'Brien was. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was calling the shots. That is for sure. If you're now just now joining us on Vanessa and Gallant, Pat McAfee and others tweeting that Aaron Rodgers will stay in Green Bay. Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero of NFL Network saying the details on that. 4 years, $200 million, $153 million of that is guaranteed. Pat McAfee saying those numbers aren't correct, according to his sources. But yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. Now, at this point, we think that Devontae Adams is most likely going to return.
Yep, I would agree. I'm just glad this is done, too.
Me too.
Stupidest. Every offseason, you thought it was going to be different. Why did you think it was going to be different than it was last offseason? Learn from history, folks. There was such a just commonly held assumption by, I would say, the vast majority of NFL media that he was going to be elsewhere. And he wasn't. I mean, why did we think this was going to be different? Same thing with Russell Wilson. I'm just saying, like, it is not that easy to force your way out of town. I thought it might change last offseason. I thought we might be about to see the same thing that we're seeing in basketball, where guys can just say, yeah, I don't want to play here anymore. Someone called me Westbrook, and I'm sad. You know, like, there's not that going on anymore in football.
Yet.
It is at a point where these guys still ultimately, they realize that they can't really force their way to whatever team that they want to go to.
Ian Rappaport says this was no easy decision. Rodgers considered retirement and the Broncos. In the end, the Packers get it done. They commit to Aaron Rodgers for many years.
Poor so he Broncos. Did consider.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
I mean, again, I'm happy from the Texans' perspective just because now this is another team that I think has to consider trading for Deshaun Watson. I mean, yes, there's a lot of stuff going on, but really? You want to stay with Teddy Bridgewater? With all the talent you have on your roster? You know what Teddy Bridgewater is. Teddy Bridgewater, at best, on a good day, is a below-average NFL quarterback. He is a check-down artist. Seems like a very nice guy. Maybe he could have been a better player if his knee did not spontaneously combust and make people, I guess, puke all around him with the Minnesota Vikings. That's really sad that happened, and good for him that he's still in the league. Blah, 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 blah. He is not good. You don't want him as your starting quarterback.
Yeah, this has been quite the development. Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. So at this point, to me, it's Super Bowl or bust.
Well, yeah, it's been Super Bowl or bust for them for
right,
3 years.
But this is it. Like, this is
it,
like,
it?
No. Like, he's getting one of the biggest contracts in NFL history.
Yeah.
It's it. And especially if they.
And he's not going to win a Super Bowl, too. That's the funny part.
I'm just saying that for his legacy, I think this is it.
Well, it already has been
established. He's already won multiple MVPs. He's already won one Super Bowl. I get that. But this is a failure if the Packers don't win a Super Bowl after giving this massive of a contract and catering to every single one of Aaron Rodgers' needs.
I mean, look, he's been one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've seen ever. You know, like, after Brady and Manning, he is the next best quarterback that we have seen. You know, people put Drew Brees in that conversation. Stop. He's not. It's Aaron Rodgers as the guy who would be, if he was a couple of years older, came into the league a little bit earlier, he would be the one guy that we're talking about in the same class as Tom Brady, as Peyton Manning. But, I mean, think about all the home playoff exits that the Packers have had, all the times that they have had the best record in the NFC, or one of the best records in the NFC, home playoff games in the NFC Championship game, and how many times that they've blown that. And a lot of people like to point at Mike McCarthy. Well, there has been one commonality the whole time, and I know Tom Brady went to 10 Super Bowls. Maybe Tom Brady just completely flips the table on everybody, but Peyton Manning still made it to 4, you know?
Yes, he did.
Rodgers only making it to one, and that one Super Bowl being over a decade ago is a massive, massive indictment on his track record when you compare him to the other all-time great quarterbacks.
That's the thing, is that when you're comparing him to the other greats, for the average quarterback, great.
He's clearly better than everybody
but
else.
When you talk about the guys that are going to wear gold jackets at some point, LOL at Joel Blank, he just texted us, I know one person who said all along he was staying in Green Bay.
Was that Joel Blank?
Joel Blank did say.
Well,
Joel Blank's our local Packer head, though.
But is that really that? Like, listen, I love Joel, and Joel does know more about the Packers than me. Was that really that hot of a take? Like, did anyone really expect him to go?
No, I think a lot of people expected him to go.
Man, it's weird though because like he clearly, for whatever reason, does not have the power that everyone seemed to believe. So where was he going to be able to force them to move him elsewhere?
I think the Broncos were the logical landing spot.
But again, like, he's under contract. What was he going to do to make the Packers say, yeah, we have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Let's trade him. You know?
Complain. Moan. We talk all the time about player empowerment now. He was going to weasel his way out of there.
I don't think
so. I have no doubt.
What was he going to do? Not show up for Sunday?
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. He was going to Deshaun Watson it.
I don't know.
Of course, before Deshaun got accused of all of that.
I don't know.
Speaking of that, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, hot takes for sure regarding Deshaun Watson. Hear what a Fox or ESPN person, what is Marcellus Wiley? Fox?
He works at Speak for Your Pizza, the show on Fox Amazon Go.
Hot take to say the least, that's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Great song choice by our producer, Cameron. I love that song.
Rodgers back down, though.
I won't. Damn it! You can't steal what I'm about to say! That is not okay! So let's start over.
Okay.
Great song choice by our producer, Cameron. I love Tom Petty, one of my all-time favorites. Won't back down. And Aaron Rodgers did not back down, which led to his new deal. 4 years, $200 million. That's per Ian Rappaport.
I will back down.
But he didn't back down. That's the point.
He didn't back down. He didn't leave.
He kept complaining until he got what he wanted.
He got it. Well, he's just going to keep complaining some more.
And now there's enough cap space to retain and put the tag on Davante Adams. That is per Ian Rappaport as well.
Do you think he ever really wanted to go elsewhere?
Yes. I think he considered. Actually,
so he had a wandering eye?
I think he considered it.
So he was thinking about. Yes. So say he's in a relationship. He saw somebody. He's like, oh, look at that. Look at that butt.
But he didn't ever actually cheat.
He didn't. Okay. Yeah. He just cheated with his eyes.
Cheated with his eyes.
And then he publicly talked about it. He's like, oh, yeah, Denver's ass. It's so thick.
David Bakhtiari tweeting, well, look at you at Aaron Rodgers. Alan Lazard tweeting a bunch of crying emojis. I have a feeling that these guys, like a lot of these guys in this locker room, kind of knew that this was happening, especially since Aaron Rodgers officiated David Bakhtiari's wedding 2 days ago. I think this is something that they kept quiet, but that they kind of figured was happening. I think Aaron Rodgers, as much of a standoffish weirdo as he can come off as, I think he probably at least had the tact and the class to tell Davante Adams so that Davante could kind of see his journey and where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do. Marcellus Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
Marcellus Wiley is on one of those kind of hot take shows with, I think, Emmanuel Acho.
Yell for your opinion to be heard. He has one opinion. He has the other.
Yell.
We don't even know what we're arguing about.
The one time that has been entertaining is that Mad Dog Russo has been on with Stephen A. Smith.
Right, but they're cartoon characters.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you're just like, okay, this is kind of funny, even though they're yelling louder than I speak, which is something else. But yeah, this is one of those shows. I got to admit, I do like Marcellus Wiley a lot.
Yeah.
But Emmanuel Acho has gotten a little bit full of himself, as sort of pointed out. Late last night by Big Cat, amongst others, on the old Twitter. But anyway, what happened? What happened on Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho's show?
Marcellus Wiley said that it is pretty much now or never for Deshaun Watson. Here's the audio.
I'm going to be candid up here. It's Houston or nowhere. But beggars can't be choosy. In this situation, we out of the conversation of you picking where you're going to go. You know why? These GMs are coming out too damn adamant with their chest. Stop painting Houston like it's hell. It's an opportunity because it looks like if it's not there, maybe no opportunity.
Okay. So essentially what he was saying over the course of the segment, we simplified it, was that there are a lot of teams that are looking at Deshaun Watson and thinking to themselves, I don't know if we can do this. And the Miami Dolphins were a team that I think a lot of people expected to be in on the conversation. They're out. The Giants should be in on the conversation. Daniel Jones stinks. but they're out. And I think the question is how many teams are actually going to be willing to make a move for this. The Washington Commanders seem like they're open to trading for every single quarterback. They told us that they have made a phone call to every single team about every single quarterback. But do you really want to bring in a guy who is alleged to have been a weirdo with 22 masseuses when your team is under investigation for sexually harassing the entire planet Earth? I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull the trigger on something like that. And Wiley's point is that maybe he has to consider playing here.
I don't think it's a bad point. And I think that what Marcellus is saying is something that a lot of people have said, which is Deshaun Watson does not have as much leverage as some people might think just because he's a good quarterback. These legal issues take a long time. He's not even set to be deposed now until this Friday, March 11th. So it's not that he doesn't have any leverage once the legal matters get settled, but until then, we'll see. And then the timing is really, really crucial because the way that it might time out, if the Broncos already have their quarterback situation figured out.
Do you think they will,
Washington,
though?
This is an if.
Okay.
If Washington already has their quarterback situation figured out, if all of that happens, I think what Marcellus Wiley is getting at is, does he have less leverage? Does he have to stay in Houston?
That's fair, but now that Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, that if question, say Rusty Harden is correct and all the criminal stuff in this case is determined by April 1st or whatever he suggested it might be.
That's what he had said.
Okay. Well, how are any of these teams resolving their quarterback situation between now and the draft? You know, Denver, Washington, the Saints, the Bucks, all of those teams that are supposedly in on Watson or have had conversations with Watson or that Watson is interested in playing for, they will not be able to resolve anything until the end of April when the draft takes place. And even then, this quarterback class is so underwhelming. I think it actually does add up. So I guess I disagree with this idea that he does not have any leverage. He probably doesn't have as much leverage to their point about where he plays, you know, and maybe he needs to start thinking long and hard about, like, maybe I should just play anywhere. And then figure it out from there. You know, get back on the field first, and then if I have to, do what I was trying to do before all those allegations came out in last March, where, you know, the 22 sexual misconduct allegations came. Because there was a time where he was trying to do what we thought both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers were trying to do. He just seemed like he was had a lot more conviction with what he was trying to do.
Former Eagles executive Joe Banner listed the Eagles and Panthers as the, quote, real possibilities when it comes to Deshaun Watson on one of the podcasts in Philly. And he went as far as to say the Eagles, quote, are the most likely landing spot for Watson. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, we've heard from the beginning, and Adam Schefter said this like 6 months ago, that the Eagles are one of the teams that not only have the targets and the draft picks and everything that they could send to Houston, but that they might be able to make things work from the standpoint of, okay, the Eagles are the team that Michael Vick did his mea culpa with and did his rehabilitation for his reputation, if you want to call it that. Could you see Deshaun Watson landing in Philly after all this time, and do you think he'd say yes through his no trade clause for a deal in Philly?
I got to be honest, I think he should. I mean, Devontae Smith's there. I think that Nick Sirianni showed last year that he is not bad as a coach. I mean, Jalen Hurts is pretty limited as a quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a guy who is great at running, seems to have a lot of things that you like as a leader, but not the best passer for sure. I mean, you saw him exposed in that playoff game against the Buccaneers. That is not the guy that you want to have going forward. Maybe in the NFC East it works. Maybe you can still make the playoffs in the NFC East with him under center, but I mean, look at what Philly did last year for the most part. I think they had a stretch where they ran for 175 yards plus, and I think 8-9 games in a row or something like that. I forget the exact number, but they were winning by running the football. That works to an extent, but when you are in the playoffs and you're going up against the teams that can just pour it on you, like the Packers can if it's ideal weather situation, like the Rams can, maybe not the Bucks anymore, but in the AFC too, if you don't have the ability to throw and throw some more, you can only win in a few kind of ways. And you end up like Tennessee where if Ryan Tannehill throws three interceptions, then even if they decide not to focus on running the football the whole game, even though they had some success, then you know the result is generally the same. Like, you need to have an all-star performance from a quarterback that's not going to be able to get you that on a regular basis.
It's getting really good on Twitter. Ian Rappaport tweeting the details of this deal with Aaron Rodgers, and Pat McAfee just straight up tweeting him now and saying this is false.
Ah.
Now, usually on Tuesdays, Aaron Rodgers hops on Pat McAfee's show.
Yes.
I hope he does that today, and I want this settled, because Pat McAfee beefing with the national media is like my favorite thing in the world.
I don't think he's even beefing, and I am curious as to how Rappaport handles this, because Rappaport is just telling the public what the agent told him.
Okay, maybe not beefing, but he is publicly saying Ian Rappaport is wrong.
No, I mean, he's definitely having some fun at his expense. No doubt about that. I don't think on McAfee's end this is going to be beefing. I do think on Rappaport's end it's going to be beefing eventually. I don't think he will take this very well. How he handles it publicly versus privately are two entirely different matters, but I think I know how he's handling this privately.
I think Ian Rappaport has been on Pat McAfee, if I'm not mistaken.
On the show?
Maybe. That might not be true. But I know that Pat McAfee has some national guys on his show constantly.
Oh, he does. I just think that Rappaport gets mad about some things.
He does get mad. I can see him being petty. But yeah, certainly hope that Aaron Rodgers hops on there today. So what do you guys think? We want you to text. We want you to tweet. We want you to Twitch us. And I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. Give us your opinions. Not only on this new deal with Aaron Rodgers, but what Marcellus Wiley said about Deshaun Watson and it being now or never. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we talk about Calvin Ridley. That suspension, is it fair? Is it not fair? And what does this mean potentially for the Dolphins and some of the other controversies in the NFL? That's coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.